All right, welcome in everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely, let's do it.
Today we're digging into a case, pretty pivotal one, Regents of the University of California v. Bake.
Big one, yeah.
Huge for anyone trying to wrap their heads around law, especially those future lawyers out there.
Yeah.
You know, because understanding this case, it's not just like a checkbox on your law school syllabus. It's fundamental, right?
It really is.
To really getting these ongoing debates still happening about affirmative action, you know, especially in higher ed.
Yeah, and Bake, it wasn't just like another Supreme Court case. You
yeah.
know, it was, this is the very first time the court, they like directly confronted those race conscious admissions policies.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting is that what they decided back then in 1978.
Oh, wow.
About race, like it could be a plus factor, but absolutely no quotas.
Uh-huh.
That idea is it's still hugely relevant, right?
Yeah.
Even today, super debated in law all the time. It's amazing.
Okay, so let's break down this landmark case, you know? Yeah.
What happened? What got us to this decision that we're still talking about decades later?
Okay, so picture this. University of California, Davis, their med school.
Okay.
They had this special admissions program.
Okay.
Setting aside 16 spots out of 100, specifically for minorities.
Wow.
African Americans, Mexican Americans, Native Americans, and Asian folks.
16 spots.
16 spots, yeah. And here's the thing. The folks applying for those reserved seats, they were judged differently.
Really?
Totally separate process.
Wow.
Didn't necessarily have to meet the same, you know, academic bars as everyone else applying generally.
And that's where Alan Bake enters the picture.
Exactly. Yeah. Alan Bake, 35 years old, white guy, applies to UC Davis Med School.
Okay.
Twice, 1973 and again in 74.
Hmm.
And this guy, academically strong, I mean really strong,
yeah.
Higher GPA and MCAT scores, you know, the med school test,
mm-hmm.
than some of the minority applicants who got in through that special program.
No kidding.
But him, rejected both times. So he's looking at this situation, rejected twice, great record. He's thinking there's something's not right here.
He felt like he was being discriminated against, basically.
Yeah.
His argument was, look, this special admissions program, it's racial discrimination, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Violates the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause.
Right.
Which, as you know, says states can't deny anyone equal protection of the laws.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said it violated Title VI of the Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one from 1964.
Right.
No discrimination based on race, color, national origin, in anything getting federal funds, like, you know, big university.
So Bake's alleging discrimination, taking legal action. What happens next? Where does his case go?
So it starts in the California courts, works its way up.
Okay.
And eventually, boom, California Supreme Court sides with Bake.
Really?
Says that, yeah, UC Davis, that 16-seat reservation, unconstitutional.
Wow.
And that's what sends the whole thing to the U.S. Supreme Court. UC Davis is not happy.
Supreme Court takes on this really hot button issue. I mean, it's still so controversial.
Absolutely.
What are the big legal questions they're wrestling with?
Well, they had to figure out two main things. First, did UC Davis's program actually violate Bake's rights, you know, under the 14th Amendment?
Okay.
Like, were they discriminating against him because he was white?
Mm-hmm.
And second, did they also break Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, remember the one about federal funding?
Right, right. So they're looking at the Constitution, they're looking at this major federal law. What did they ultimately decide?
Okay, so the court's decision, not simple, not at all.
Yeah.
It was split. Six different opinions came out of this thing.
Wow.
But in the end, they agreed with the California Supreme Court that quota system at UC Davis, yeah, that was unconstitutional.
Mm.
But, and this is a big but, they also said that considering race in admissions,
yeah,
sometimes in some very specific situations, it might be okay.
Okay, so a mixed bag, you know, not a clear-cut decision. Which opinion, like, held the most weight?
Justice Powell, Justice Lewis Powell, his opinion, that's the one everyone looks to, you know,
yeah,
to really understand Bach.
Okay.
He didn't have a majority agreeing with him on every single point.
Right.
But his opinion was kind of the middle, where most of the court could at least partially get on board.
Yeah.
And that's what made it so important, really shaped how things went after.
So let's get into Justice Powell's reasoning here. What was his take on UC Davis and their quota?
So Powell, he uses this thing called strict scrutiny.
Okay.
That's how courts look at laws or policies when race is involved.
Mm.
Because, you know, you can't just treat people differently based on race. Right.
Right.
So strict scrutiny, it's the toughest standard.
Oh, wow.
To pass the test, the law, the policy, it has to have a compelling government interest, meaning it has to be super important, something the government really needs to do.
Okay, so really important goal.
Exactly. But it also has to be narrowly tailored.
Narrowly tailored. What does that mean?
It means you can't just, like, use a sledgehammer to fix a tiny problem, right?
Right.
You got to be precise, yeah. Careful. The policy has to be very specific.
Yeah.
Only do what's absolutely necessary to achieve that super important goal.
Mm. Okay, so those are the two big parts of the test, right? How does Justice Powell apply this to UC Davis?
So he said, okay, a diverse student body.
Yeah.
That's important. He recognized that.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate, even compelling interest for a university, having students from all different backgrounds with different experiences and perspectives. Huge educational benefit, right?
Absolutely.
But he says, that quota system.
Yeah.
That's not narrowly tailored.
Interesting. Why not? It seems like, you know, reserving those spots would help achieve that goal of diversity.
Here's the thing. UC Davis was reserving those 16 seats no matter what.
Okay.
So someone like Bake, super qualified, couldn't even be considered for those spots just because he was white.
Hmm.
Powell said, that's not individualized. You're not looking at each person, their merits. You're just saying, nope, you're this race, no chance.
So it's like the quota was too rigid, not focused enough.
Right. Exactly. A good policy. It's like a laser.
Right.
It hits the specific target, achieving diversity, but doesn't, like, create all this collateral damage by excluding people solely because of their race.
I see. So a quota is like using a cannon to kill a fly.
Yeah, pretty much. It's overkill. And he actually contrasted this with how another school does things, a pretty famous one.
Oh, which one?
Harvard.
Okay.
He held up Harvard's admissions model as, like, a better example.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they considered race, but as one factor among many.
Okay.
They're looking at the whole applicant, their grades, their experiences, everything. And race is just one piece of that puzzle.
Okay, so not just slotting people in based on race.
Nope. It's about building a diverse class, but in a more, you know, thoughtful, holistic way.
And there's that famous quote from Justice Powell. Everyone brings it up when they talk about this case.
Oh, yeah, the to get beyond racism quote.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
He said, to get beyond racism, we must first take account of race.
Such a powerful statement.
But you got to understand what he meant, yeah. Right? He wasn't saying keep discriminating or quotas are good.
Right, right.
He was saying if we want real diversity, real inclusion, then universities can carefully think about race.
Okay.
But not as the only thing, just one factor among many others.
That's so interesting because the idea of diversity as a good thing in itself, like a compelling interest, that was new.
Right. Up until then, a lot of the legal arguments for affirmative action were focused on, like, fixing past discrimination.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Justices Brennan, Marshall, and Blackmun, they were big on that.
Mm.
Powell's idea that diversity has value on its own, that was a pretty big shift.
Okay, so just to recap, the fatal flaw for UC Davis was that they totally excluded Bake from those 16 seats just because he was white, right?
Exactly.
And that was a no-go under both the 14th Amendment and Title VI.
Exactly. They couldn't just say, sorry, white guy, these seats aren't for you.
Equal protection denied.
Right.
But it wasn't like every justice was totally on board with Powell's whole argument.
Right. Right. The other justices, they had different ideas about all this. Like Justices Brennan, Marshall, Blackmun, they agree that, yeah, that specific quota was a problem.
Oh, yeah.
But they were, like, strong supporters of affirmative action overall.
Uh-huh.
They thought, you know, to really address the problems of historical discrimination, you need policies that take race into account.
Okay.
Maybe not quotas, maybe something more flexible.
Yeah.
But definitely race conscious. They were less focused on diversity just for diversity's sake.
Right.
And more about, like, fixing the wrongs of the past.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what about the, like, the more conservative justices? What was their take?
So Justice Stevens, he had Chief Justice Berger.
Yeah.
And Justices Stewart and Rehnquist with him on this, they took a really strict view, focused on the law itself, Title VI.
Okay.
They said, look, Title VI is super clear.
Mm-hmm.
No racial exclusions in any program getting federal money, mm-hmm. period. It doesn't matter what UC Davis's intentions were. The law's the law. And they were worried about reverse discrimination.
Right, right. So you have these two different ways of thinking about anti-discrimination law.
Yeah.
Stevens's group, they're all about the impact of a policy. Did it actually exclude someone based on race? Mm-hmm. While Powell, he's looking deeper, considering intent and, you know, these big compelling interests.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right, because those different approaches can lead to very different outcomes.
For sure. So Beck, it really is like this clash of legal philosophies all coming together, and somehow we got a decision.
Totally. And remember, no single opinion had a full majority.
Right.
So Powell's opinion, it was like the bridge, you know?
Yeah.
Connecting these different viewpoints enough to get to a decision.
So these cases, like a puzzle, right? All these different pieces.
Yeah. But even though it was a split decision, Beck laid down some serious ground rules, and those rules, they're still shaping how we handle affirmative action today.
Okay, so what are those big takeaways, the stuff that still matters all these years later?
The most important thing, strict scrutiny.
Okay.
That's now the standard, the test,
yeah,
for any admissions policy that uses race. Remember, compelling government interest, narrowly tailored, all that.
Right, so no more quotas, no set-asides. But you can still think about race.
As long as you're looking at the whole person, all their qualifications, you know, a holistic review.
Right. So Beke, it's like it tried to find that balance. Diversity is important,
mm-hmm,
but so is fairness. And you can't just exclude people because of their race.
Yeah. It tried to thread that needle. Hard to do.
And it definitely didn't solve everything, right? This debate is still going strong.
Oh, yeah. Affirmative action is still, it's super complex, super controversial issue.
Okay. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Bake, what's the big question, the central tension that this case really highlights?
I think it comes down to this. How much can universities consider race when they're trying to build a diverse class, while also being fair to every applicant? Bake said, you can think about race, but carefully, not as the deciding factor, and definitely no quotas.
But it didn't give us like a magic answer that makes everyone happy.
Either way. And that's why we're still arguing about this today.
So for our listeners out there, all you law students trying to make sense of this stuff, what's something to think about going forward as you study, as you build your careers?
I would say, think about Bake in today's world.
Yeah.
We still want diversity in schools, but we also want a system that's fair, that gives everyone a chance. So how do you balance those things?
Right.
What are the best arguments for and against using race in admissions, even in a holistic way?
Mm.
And how has the law evolved since Bake? What are the big cases now? What might the future hold for affirmative action?
It's all about the big picture.
Yeah, the big picture and your role in it, you know, as future legal minds.
Lots to ponder.
For sure.
Well, thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
To all our listeners, keep those legal brains churning, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.
See you then.